Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, transition towns. Hardcore environmentalists prepare for the collapse of fossil fuel by modeling new communities and being better neighbors. Plus, Meg Hirschberg, columnist, mother, and wife of Stonyfield's visionary leader Gary Hirschberg, talks about her new book. It's a survival guide for navigating the emotional and logistical terrain of balancing a business with building a family. But first, another sign of spring, the return of Occupy protesters. Chapters of the worldwide movement were evicted from many sites over the winter. Others morphed into Occupy the courts, Occupy our homes, and countless internet rifts. Those movements transcended the shanty towns that first gave rise to Occupy, along with the phrase the 99%, which joined the American vernacular and political conversation. Still, the movement, openly chided for being leaderless and disengaged from the political process, will not directly endorse candidates in 2012. Yet some House and Senate contenders are identifying with Occupy. Josh Harkinson is a staff writer for Mother Jones. He profiled the list of 2012 hopefuls who will appear on the ballot as Democrats, but maybe the closest thing we'll see to Occupy candidates. Josh, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Great to be here, Virginia.
Well, just to be clear, are these actual Wall Street protesters with camping, you know, camping overnight in public parks, or are they politicians with Occupy sympathies?
They're more politicians with Occupy sympathies. I mean, there are a few candidates who actually slept in Zuccotti Park and other occupation encampments, but the candidates that I think have a real shot at winning aren't the people who, you know, spent time in tents wearing rain gear, but they are people who really identify with core aspects of Occupy's message, like income inequality or getting corporate money out of politics.
Income inequality, of course, a big theme. New York State Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries is one of those embracing the rhetoric. Here he is at a rally. Now, this is held in support of Occupy protesters on October 25th of last year.
We showed a whole lot of compassion to folks like J.P. Morgan and Bank of America and Citibank when we bailed them out in excess of $700 billion. But we're here today to say we should show the same level of compassion that we showed on Wall Street to the people on Fulton Street, to the working families who are struggling, to the middle class folks, to the single mothers who are raising their children, to those who are in college who just want their piece of the American dream. What's the motivation? Take your pick, because we're going to take back America, and it starts today.
That's New York State Assemblyman Hakeem Jeffries there. Now, Josh, he is running for Congress against 15-term incumbent Ed Towns. Does he stand a chance?
Well, he actually does, and it sort of hinges on this arcane debate over redistricting. There's an effort to redraw the 10th District, which is Towns' district, to exclude areas that Jeffries that were part of Jeffries' Assembly District, where he's really popular. But I think the underlying issue here, and the reason why he really has a shot, is that there's a lot of discontent in the Democratic base with politicians who they feel have sold out to corporate interests. For example, with Towns, he supported the 2005 Central American Free Trade Agreement, which was really vehemently opposed by labor unions, and they're pretty powerful in his district. And so I think it's votes like that are making these incumbents vulnerable across the country, and the Occupy movement provides an opening for progressive candidates to say, hey, you know, let's stick to our principles and we can still win.
Another candidate in your rundown of so-called Occupy candidates, former Florida Congressman Alan Grayson. He lost a re-election bid back in 2010, but he's now campaigning again, this time kind of wielding this message of the 99%. Here he is speaking on Real Time with Bill Maher, arguing with humorist and conservative author P.J. O'Rourke.
One party is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wall Street, and the other party caters to them as well. That's the real truth of the matter, as you said before. And
get the man a bongo drum. They found their spokesman. Okay.
Well,
get a bongo drum, forget where to go to the bathroom, and it's yours.
Listen, if I am a spokesman for all the people who think that we should not have 24 million people in this country who can't find a full-time job, that we should not have 50 million people in this country who can't see a doctor when they're sick, and we shouldn't have 15 million families who owe more on their mortgage than the value of their home, okay, I'll be that spokesman.
All right, it does pretty well on Bill Maher's very progressive show, but will Florida Democrats be so enthusiastic?
Well, it's hard to say, and you know that's kind of the concern with these insurgent progressives who are capitalizing upon the Occupy energy. It's sort of analogous in some ways to what happened with the Tea Party in 2010, possibly, where you know you had these outsider candidates who were much more conservative than the Republican mainstream, and they won their primary elections, but then they lost in the general election, like Sharon Angle, for example. I don't know if you remember her.
Yes.
She ran against Harry Reid for Senate in Nevada. And she said some crazy things about, you know, Second Amendment remedies, you know, this sort of like veiled way of saying we're going to take out Harry Reid with a gun. You know, that appealed to a certain demographic. But, you know, I think it occupies a little bit different in some respects because they aren't getting directly involved in electoral politics. And so, you know, on some level, these candidates kind of have to stand on their own a little bit more in the primary election. But, yeah, Grayson is a very polarizing figure, and, you know, he can call Dick Cheney a blood-sucking vampire, and, you know, there are certain people who are going to love that and certain people who are going to feel alienated by that. And so I think the Occupy movement is sort of the backdrop for these things.
Yeah, so many fringe candidates, as you mentioned, probably on this first wave. But also on your list, Elizabeth Warren. She's running for Senate against Scott Brown in Massachusetts. Is she really an Occupy candidate, or is that just a moniker now being thrown at her by the GOP?
Well, I don't think she's ever called herself a quote-unquote Occupy candidate. And, you know, it's important to realize that you know, people who consider themselves sort of stalwarts of the Occupy movement would never endorse a candidate and would shrink from calling a candidate an Occupy candidate. But, you know, I think that she really can very credibly say that she represents some of the very most core issues that the movement cares about. I mean, she called herself, she said, she basically took credit for creating, quote, much of the intellectual foundation for Occupy Wall Street. And I don't think that's a stretch. I mean, she's this Harvard law professor who played a very pivotal role in helping to craft the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which, you know, exists to basically regulate Wall Street. And, you know, that's a big theme of the movement. And she's really sort of stood behind the protesters, even when Republicans have tried to use that against her by saying, oh, she supports lawbreaking and, you know, she supports these dirty hippies, but, you know, she basically shot back through a spokesperson saying that, you know, she, quote, understands why people are so angry and, you know, why they're taking the fight to the street, and that she wants to take the fight to the United States Senate. And I think that's kind of a theme that these other candidates are hitting upon as well.
We have to wrap here, Josh, but of all the candidates you mentioned, perhaps the one who most resembles the Occupy demographic anyway is the 25-year-old Elia Sherman of Illinois. Now, you're calling his primary race a bellwether for progressives in 2012. Quickly, can you tell us why?
Well, he's running in this district that's currently controlled by a Republican, and it's not by any means a liberal district. And he's facing a pretty moderate centrist candidate in the Democratic primary who's actually supported Republicans, you know, given donations to them. And so it's a really stark contrast because he himself is a former mobilization director for MoveOn.org, the liberal advocacy group. And, you know, has campaigned really hard on the Occupy message, you know, saying that, you know, the wealthiest 400 Americans control as much wealth in this country as the bottom 150 million and really like hitting on that theme. And so if he can win, you know, running on income inequality in a pretty moderate district, then it really kind of would indicate that a lot of other progressive outsider candidates can take the Occupy message and run with it this year.
Well, thanks so much, Josh, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
Josh Harkinson, staff writer for Mother Jones. Now, you can find a link to his list of so-called Occupy candidates at wordofmouthradio.org, where you can also watch those videos of Hakeem Jeffrey and Alan Grayson, who were mentioned earlier. Coming up, exploring the hidden value of caverns and caves when Word of Mouth continues after a short break. This is NHPR.